Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friedel.
Just whistle while you work.
This is Wretched Radio.
And cheerfully together we can tidy up the place.
Whilst we encourage you to send emails to idea@wretched.org, we're not going to open the mailbag yet. Why? Because I have some house cleaning to do. Jimmy, this is one of your favorite songs, isn't it? I hear you tweeting this one all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no. Put them in the tub. When hearts
I gotta tell you, that adorable voice would probably put me into a padded cell. Please send emails to idea@wretched.org. But before we get to some other emails that are some house cleaning issues that I think might be helpful for you. Do you recall we were pondering, okay, at least I was pondering the other day, which scene you would like to go back to in the Bible? Where would you exactly like to? You can only be Michael J. Fox back in time once, because let's be honest, if you were brought back twice, it wouldn't be as good because sequels are never as good. You can pick one scene that you read about in the Bible. Which one would it be? I think that whilst you could be in danger of concocting an idol in your head, I think that this is not a terrible thing to ponder, to actually visualize without getting mystical here, to help me to think through what it actually was like, because reading it is great, but the reading is supposed to fire one's imagination. What scene would you like to see that might impact you? Would you like to go back to the night Jesus was betrayed? To watch him get on his hands and knees and wash the filthy feet of the disciples? How much would that stagger you? It should stagger us. And that's why it's sometimes, I think, worthwhile to go back to, what would that have been like? Jim said if I could go back, it would be the road to Emmaus, so that he could hear Jesus talking to the two disciples and identifying himself in every book in the Old Testament. That might help us with our biblical hermeneutics and our study of typology. Where did Jesus find himself? Here's the best rule. If the New Testament says this is that, then that is this. Otherwise, you're speculating to a degree. But I wonder if Jesus revealed to them, you know that story about Joseph? Yeah, that's about me. That's a picture of me. The betrayed brother who ascends to power, who delivers and rescues his brothers who have sinned against him. You can't help but think that might have been one. What scene would you like to go back to? There are a lot, aren't there? Another email sent in helping me to understand TikTok. You may recall, brilliantly, I don't want to brag, but it was brilliant. We wanted to talk about the TikTok machine, so I went to the YouTube machine and looked up TikTok. And a 12-hour tick, 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 tick video appeared, which has been watched a million times. And I less than rhetorically asked, what's up with that? Well, Taryn explains, it's for people who sleep. And because they struggle to sleep, they need that clocks on. It just helps them to kind of, you know, chill, get their brain from thinking and whatever it is that's keeping them up. And it helps them to sleep. And because I have the gift of utter cynicism, I would ask, why do you need 12 hours? Nobody should be sleeping that long. Thank you for letting me know that. Another question via idea@wretched.org asking about the homeschool curriculum for Road Trip to Truth, which people can't find. That's because we didn't have like the super grooviest link for it. But if you go to wretched.org now and you're looking for a homeschool curriculum for your homeschool kids to prepare them for the world so that they have a thoroughly biblical worldview dealing with issues of truth, the assaults on the Bible, the character attacks against God, all of that, Road Trip to Truth, Season 1, there is a homeschool curriculum, and you can find that link now at wretched.org. By the way, Jimmy, when I went looking for Whistle While You Work,
uh-huh, yeah.
Would Would you like to know what popped up first?
Yeah.
I typed in whistle, space W.
All right. And it didn't fill in whistle while you worked the rest of the way.
Whistle while you twerk is what popped up. What a world. What a world.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail.
Now we're getting to it.
Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here.
Ooh, please send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org.
All right. Well, Wayne emailed in, and he doesn't have a question. He just wanted to pass along the information that you're being muted when you talk about COVID.
Now, does that mean externally or internally? Because it's both. Facebook is just slamming. Facebook doesn't release any of our stuff. It's just absolutely amazing. The reason that Facebook is not happy with us is because in a segment that we posted there about the expansive nature of the forgiveness of sins found in Jesus Christ, the expansive nature of God's grace, I said, God is so willing to forgive the worst of the worst that if Adolf Hitler had repented and put his trust in Jesus Christ, God has the power to do that. That got us flagged, tagged. They send us a thing saying we're slapping your wrist. And that was, I think, in January. And we just haven't been left out of the penalty box yet. YouTube just swell. In fact, we posted a YouTube video, should a Christian take the COVID vaccine? This was an effort to figure out biblically how to work through the issue, should I or shouldn't I, to think it through biblically. Yes, using what you read on the internet or your podcasts that you get, but working through it biblically. And YouTube, to their credit, they haven't touched that. Well, partially because I was muted in that. So internally, I've been muted from telling anybody what I think about the pandemic. I've certainly got an opinion, but that's all it is. I mean, I get the same stuff you do and believe me, I've got an opinion, but I just don't think you need mine. As Alistair Begg says, you're smart people. You'll figure this out. He always says that. And that's how I feel. You don't need my blathering about it. And I think that would be irresponsible anyway, because as I look at the issue, I tend to see it as an adiaphora, as a gray area where people are going to come up with different decisions. When you consider what are the ingredients in this booyah of the pandemic, oofta. You've got people with so many interests and areas, and some things we're hotter about than others. And we've got to figure those things out and sort through them. And we sought to do that. How do we sort through it? Whilst I was being muted and not sharing my opinion, by the way, not sure, because again, what a world, what a world. We could get muted for this too. We might do part two. What does a Christian do if the vaccine is mandated, which is happening as we speak? I know if you're tuning in from a foreign planet, yes, this is being broadcast from America. And both businesses and government now are increasingly looking to threaten and intimidate people into taking the vaccine. How's a Christian to think that through? There are some Christians who are like, it's not a problem. Other Christians are like, problem. All right. So we're not gonna clobber each other on this, are we? That we're thinking it through a little bit differently? We can love through this. This is not in a confession of faith statement anywhere that I'm aware of, that you are considered orthodox if you do this or that regarding the pandemic. They're just not. So we can disagree on some of this stuff, as heated as it might be, and it's increasingly getting heated. For instance, I know that there are folks who increasingly are fond of the idea of the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. The thinking is, these are not dumb people. They are seeing that when the government does not behave in its role the way that God has prescribed, then we as the lower magistrates, we have the responsibility to throw the bums out. And some would say by any means necessary, not just in the voting booth. I disagree with that. I don't think that it's very clever, but Romans 13 is so screwed down. You can't wiggle out of it. I just don't think there's an escape clause that's there. I think that it's a manufactured one. Sorry, my lesser magistrate brothers and sisters. I don't buy it because I don't think that we're supposed to be revolutionaries. And yet, now you're confronted with, well, what if the government says you've got to put that thing in your body and you think that thing is either from stem cell lines of babies, it's an ethical issue, it's a religious issue, or you think it's dangerous. You've seen this report or that study and you've concluded this is not, I can't put this into my body or my kid's body. All right, how do we think through that? I'm hoping to put that together for next week. Not so that I can tell you what I think. It doesn't matter. What matters is how we think. And so we will follow the seven steps that we laid out in Wretched Worldview. Explicit, implicit Bible verses. What does the gospel have to say about it? What about church history? What about my testimony? What about all of the objections to these things? We will try to tackle that next week. But until then, I'm muted on Wretched Radio. Clearly, I am not the sharpest bulb in the drawer. Nevertheless, I can figure this out. In order for a woman who is experiencing a crisis pregnancy to see an ultrasound, who 80% of the time chooses life, you've got to have an ultrasound machine. Perhaps you have the means to provide an entire ultrasound machine for a preborn center. If you do, please know the people who use these machines every day, they know their power and they are so grateful.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way.
Thank you indeed. And if you could provide an ultrasound machine or an ultrasound for just $28, please consider doing so. Preborn.org/wretched.
Did you realize that everything seems to have its own day to celebrate it? August, in particular, has National Creamsicle Day, National Relaxation Day, and let's not forget about the month-long celebrations for National Catfish Month, National Goat Cheese Month, and one I just deemed most important above all, International Gospel Partners Month. That's right. Celebrate with us, because while I'm obviously joking about International Gospel Partners Month, I am not joking about our reliance on you. Wretched relies on the kindness and generosity of our gospel partners to reach millions all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thanks to you, Wretched Radio is among the top 5% of all podcasts across all platforms. Without you, that's not possible. So would you please prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner today? And what better time to do it than right now during International Gospel Partners Month? Just visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321.
When you sponsor a Tomorrow Club for $30 per month in Eastern Europe, you are writing stories like this.
Vova and Maxim, one is 11, another 13, they're brothers. Both of them smoke like crazy, so when they joined Tomorrow Club, they would just make noise and kick other kids around. That winter, the father left the whole family without wood for the furnace, so they could freeze to death, and without food. So the leaders came and actually brought the wood to the family and fixed the things that they were broken in the home. So the boys saw what happened. They got saved, and the change in their attitude and behavior is just immense.
$30 per month. You'll be discipling 30 Eastern European kids in far-flung and very poor villages in Eastern Europe and so much more. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 270 AD. A wealthy young man named Antony gives away his possessions and begins life as a hermit. Disciples follow his example, and the first monastic movement began.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Send them. Send questions, comments, conundrums. Quit yelling at us. Questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks to idea@wretched.org. This is a Wretched Radio. Send pretty much anything you want. What's pretty much? Well, ixnay on the airing sway. And if you'd be so kind, would you please send a description with whatever it is that you're wanting us to take a look at, whether it's an article or a YouTube video, to indicate that you're a believer? Because I won't open up stuff if there isn't a description, just because I don't know what's on the other end of it. So I'd just be grateful if you would just say, hey, Friel, this is something that you could take a look at. Sweet. Then I know that it's somebody and not just something that's foul being sent via the internet. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
That must be why you never respond to my emails, then.
Exactly.
All right, this one is an interesting question. Comes from Josie. She says, how should I be a godly stepmom? I know a stepmom can't be a mom fully to their stepchild. Do I still, though, apply the sermons of being a godly mom in my life?
Yeah, let me just rewind the tape a little bit here. You can't fully be mom. Now, in a sense, of course, that is correct, in that you're not bio mom. But if I could extrapolate from what the covenant of marriage is, you're that child's mom. In that, you are now in the closest relationship that you have on this planet is not a blood relative. It is your spouse. And if your spouse has children from a previous situation and you enter into that covenant with him or her, I think that we can extrapolate, well, then those kids that should be like they're your kids. That's what covenant is. Remember the whole in richer for poor, sickness and in health till death do us part. It's a covenantal way of saying, which was so standard, what's mine is yours, what's yours is mine. And that means in this relationship, your kids aren't your kids anymore. They're our kids. So in that sense, absolutely train them up, teach them, love them. And if in your home, that bridge has not been crossed in the understanding of what this unit is, it's not like stepmom. I think, personally, I think it's an unhelpful term. Do I get it that a kid could go, hey, that's my bio mom, that's my stepmom? I get that. But I don't think it's helpful to hold on to that adjective, because you're the mom. And if your family hasn't sat down together to say, hey, let's just define what this little unit is. Now, the kids may not be on board fully, but as the mom, you most certainly can be. Why? Because of biblical covenant, because of the new covenant that you're in with that person, those kids are yours. And with that comes all the spiritual responsibilities. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right. Christopher said in your Wobbly Knee Christian video, you briefly mentioned that they may not be saved. And he wants to know if you can expound on that a little more.
No, you know what I would encourage? If you go back into our archives at wretched.org, just look for false conversions, false converts. We've talked about this subject regularly over the years. Why? Because it's a big deal. And we see such a preponderance of evidence that indicates we got ourselves a lot of false converts. But for those people who are struggling with assurance, it has to be dealt. There has to be a possibility you don't have assurance because you're not saved. So where do you put that in the chain? How do you process that? I'd say hit it up front and make sure you understand your soteriology in a robust way. In both sides of the change issue. So what I mean by that is you take a look. Okay, did I hear the gospel? Yeah. Did you hear the right gospel? I did, that I'm a sinner and Jesus died for sinners. And if I'll repent and put my trust in Jesus, all of my sins will be forgiven. Did you do that? Now, here's where the struggle comes in. You go, I'm not sure. Well, I would say to you, if you're concerned, you probably did. Furthermore, you can just resolve the issue. Did you have faith in Christ, a repentant faith in Christ? Because your concern tends to be it's not a big enough faith. And I grant you that is true, but it doesn't have to be. Remember this side of the coin. We should have a robust, repentant faith. I now blech with sin. But at the same time, I recognize that Jesus' words are still tender to me, that if I will come unto him, even with a mustard seed faith, he's going to take me in and he's going to forgive me. I need to remember, and so do you, both sides of that, that faith is a serious thing. It's not like, yeah, well, you know, I kind of did. It's not a big fruit schmoot. No, that's a wrong understanding. But at the same time, it's also a wrong understanding to say this is the level that my repentance and faith must be at. It needs to be perfect and fervent. It's not going to be. Remember both of those things. And I would say deal with that up front and then put it behind you. Thank the Lord for your salvation and then start focusing on him. It's so simple. It's so difficult. When you're struggling with assurance, it is almost certain the issue that the object of your current focus is yourself. Do I do enough? Do I pray enough? Do I read enough? Do I have faith enough? Did I repent enough? No. Jesus. And the more you focus on what he did and his promises, the assurance issue, it's going to start to abate. It's going to start going away and evaporating for you. Focus on him and send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right. At the risk of asking the same question, because I'm not, I think this expounds on this question just a little bit more, but Brandon wrote in and said, what do I do when I confess my sin with a genuine heart, ask for forgiveness, but I don't feel forgiven?
Yeah.
Why does my knowledge of being forgiven not give me joy?
There's a reason. There's two parts to that. First of all, in a sense, it doesn't matter how you feel. If Jimmy told me, Todd, I put $1 million into your checking account, let's just say I don't say whoop-de-doo. Does the $1 million disappear? Nope. So be careful that feelings are not determinative. Having said that, it should bring us joy. Now, I find it hard to imagine that it doesn't give you any emotions at all. It's probably just not the emotions, the effusive emotions that you fancy that it should be, or it's not the level of emotions that you had when you first got saved. But make sure that you're really, really careful that you don't take stock in your salvation based on how you're feeling about it. Instead, you trust Jesus. You ask him to give you joy in your heart, to renew your thinking and your feelings about him. But just keep studying him. Just keep listening to good preaching. Read your Bible and do it the way that we're supposed to, not skimming over the surface, not just like we're flipping rocks over the water. Instead, dive into it and drink it in, and your feelings will be just fine. Now, be careful even then, because you might be saying, okay, so then I'm going to do those things. I'm going to practice the means of grace in Acts chapter 2. And the feeling that I should have is I'm clicking my heels 24/7. You've got the wrong goal. You've got a wrong understanding of Christian emotions. Nobody can sustain that, and it's just not normal. Now, there's a huge movement that seeks to get your emotions whipped up so that it reminds you that you're saved. That's bad news. But our emotions are going to be profounder, deeper, more settled, richer, not woohoo. It could be, whoa. It could be, I think I'm going to have a breakdown in pondering that why would God save me? Why would he do this? And quite frankly, whether you're a Calvinist or an Arminian, nevertheless, salvation is of the Lord. This should stagger you. This should cause you to go, ah, me. Just go to a football game, if they let you. And look around. There's 60,000 people. You. He chose you. Through eternity, through the tunnel, through knowing your filthy, disastrous mess of a life. He determined, I'm going to redeem that. Somebody's got to win the lottery. Well, I guess that's true when it comes to throwing your money in the street for a ticket and an idolatrous thought, but you won. You won. You got it. Your name was called. Do you remember as a child standing in line hoping to be picked? Just not last. I just don't pick me last. Just please pick me. Somebody pick me. The cool people pick me. Well, guess what? The coolest entity in the universe picked you. And it's not based on your athletic skills or what you were going to contribute to the team. He chose you because he chose you. He saved you because he saved you. He loves you because he loves you. You got in. Ponder that and think that through. And your emotions might be an overwhelmed sense. It could just be, wow, that's amazing. Or it could be, that was my effort to whistle. That's amazing. So be careful about your feelings and your understanding of what they should and shouldn't be. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, kidnappers in Nigeria are demanding a 1 million naira ransom, which is equivalent to just under $2,500 US, before they release 81 children that they snatched from a boarding school last month. It was the 10th mass kidnapping in Nigeria since December, which authorities have attributed to criminal gangs. Originally, 137 children were taken, but kidnappers have released two groups of 28 during their negotiations. Christian schools like these have become targets for these mass kidnappings. Please continue to pray not only for these children and their safe release, but all of our persecuted brothers and sisters abroad. Well, a federal appeals court in Tennessee upheld a Tennessee law that requires pregnant women to wait 48 hours before getting an abortion. The law was originally passed in 2015, but a federal judge ruled it unconstitutional last year. But yesterday, in a 9-7 decision, the U.S. Sixth Court of Appeals reversed that order and upheld the law. The ruling was obviously a major pro-life victory that's been applauded by the Alliance Defending Freedom and the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. We pray that laws like these will save as many babies from unnecessary slaughter as possible until Roe v. Wade can be totally overturned. Archaeologists in Israel say they've uncovered evidence in Jerusalem of an earthquake, which was referenced in both Amos and Zechariah. That earthquake struck down the divided kingdom after the reigns of David and Solomon. The Israel Antiquities Authority said this week that it uncovered archaeological evidence of that earthquake, which struck Israel about 2,800 years ago. Although archaeologists previously discovered evidence of the quake elsewhere in Israel, it's the first time they've found evidence in Jerusalem itself. Recent excavations in the City of David National Park revealed a layer of destruction from when the building's walls collapsed, including shattered vessels, bowls, lamps, cooking utensils, and jars. Officials say that the earthquake was probably one of the strongest and most damaging earthquakes in ancient times. Well, on July 19th, a church in British Columbia in Canada burnt to the ground, and now members of the church say they have decided to forgive rather than press charges. This church in particular was one of 49 Canadian churches that have been victims of recent arson attacks. The attacks appeared to have been provoked by discovering unmarked graves with Indigenous children on the lands of the church and state-funded residential schools. However, members of this church say they hold no anger toward the arsonists and said, quote, "The only thing that we can say to those perpetrators is that as Christian believers, we forgive you." More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Numbers tells the story of Israel's wandering in the desert for 40 years. The journey from Egypt to Canaan should have only taken 11 days, but Israel's grumbling and disobedience angered God, and none of the Israelites were allowed to enter the Promised Land. But God remained faithful and led their children into their inheritance. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Got it! My whistler returned. This is Wretched Radio. Please send your emails. It's not a good whistler, but at least it's functioning now. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. Have you seen those YouTube videos where you put crackers in your mouth and then you try to whistle and you can't? If I'm not mistaken, that was a trend, and it's kind of dangerous because you can choke. But people just seem to dig that stuff. I guess anything to get a modicum of fame on the YouTube machine. It's amazing. Send your emails, please, to idea@wretched.org.
Okay, so what Edward wants to know, what does the Bible tell us about distractions? Regardless of what it is that we're being distracted from, what's the biblical way to deal with distractions?
Here's what's obvious. Is it Edward or Edwin?
Edward.
You've clearly never listened to this program for more than 20 seconds because I can't hold a thought that long. It just goes a little bit all over the place. Go ahead, call it OCD. I'm okay with that. I don't think that that is the kiss of death, but you should work to get it under control. I do. I try. I try to put systems in place that demand that of me. Here's I'll tell you something that I've been doing lately just for what suddenly this is office talk. But in the office, here's my tendency. I'm working on something and I've got a question about or I've got a need for. I will bound out of my chair, run down the hallway and get it dealt with, interrupting somebody's day and then scoot back. And then on the way there, I get distracted anyway and forgot what I was doing. And then I start working on something else. Horrible. And I recognized it. So it's like every time I get him to go, well, I'm jumping out of my chair. Sit down. Focus. Get your brain under control. So I have to work at it. Distractions are a part of the fall. This cannot be overstated. The depth of the effect of the fall on our noodles is staggering, and a short attention span would be one of those effects. Being distracted, one of those effects. And so I would not get too twisted over it, but I would set my heart on, you know what, I'm going to try to be more focused. God isn't distracted. I don't want to be distracted either. I want to be as productive as I can for Him. So you can watch those YouTube videos that teach you how to, you know, do that and organize your desk and your day. You can watch those videos about how to read your Bible, get rid of the distractions, get yourself into a place, make sure you're comfortable. What time of day is it? Did you make your tea? That's all swell. But whatever it is, just determine, all right, I'm not going to go into the dumps because I've got OCD or I've got ADHD that I've got.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Although, you know, if you wanted to just throw the entire DSM-5 at me, I'd be okay with that too. OCD. Oh, by the way, Jimmy.
Yes?
Would you like to know what issue that I happen to have with you personally because of OCD? I hate to tell you this, but Emily has the same issue. We discovered this last night when we were talking about you without you in the room.
Oh, that's fair.
That's always a good formula, isn't it? Yeah. Would you like to know what's driving me nuts about you?
I think so, maybe.
Go ahead. I think you know. Your feet are on it right now.
My feet are on the floor.
What's between the floor and your feet?
What's between the floor and my... This is a trick question.
The carpet.
The carpet. Okay, you have a problem.
It's crooked in your office.
Oh.
It's not lined up right. Yeah. And every time I walk in, my eyes go to it, and something inside of me goes...
Who's the designer around here?
And you know who else is on my OCD list?
Who's that?
Al! His carpet is dirty. I wonder if he can... But if I yelled loud enough, he might be able to hear me. And come looking in here. His carpet is crooked. Okay.
Hey, you want a funny story about that?
Okay.
I helped him put that one down too.
See, you're the issue. You are the man. Our brains, they struggle. It doesn't mean that you're sinning necessarily. Just go to work on it. Ask God for His help. And try to focus because you're just going to become more godly in the process. And when you find yourself continuing to be distracted... Look, it could absolutely, your body is not insignificant in your emotional affairs. You are a dualistic, you are a holistic dual being. You are really a body and you're really a soul. You have both of these components and they affect one another. Isn't that what Psalm 32 tells me? That my spirit affects my body. When David wasn't repenting of his sin, confessing his sin, his bones were wasting, his bones were aching. Then he confessed his sins and he felt better. What? What? That's because there's a connection. And conversely, and we want to be careful because I know this opens up Pandora's box about medication, but your body can also impact your soul. And we need to, it's okay. You're not compromising. It doesn't mean that you're selling the farm on biblical counseling. It means that actually You're being a really thoughtful biblical counselor because you recognize that we are of a dualistic nature and that they are not separate from each other. The one plays off of the other and vice versa. And because of the fall, we need to recognize we all feel it. And it might be OCD. Okay. That's not the norm. That's not the standard. It's not the way that it should be. I shouldn't be going bonkers because some carpet is crooked. But so I'm gonna work on that. I'm not going to feel like a terrible sinner. I'm going to be reminded, yep, that's a part of the fall. And then I'm going to just try to work on it. And by the way, if you have OCD, there actually are biblical counseling books. Go to biblicalcounseling.com and please take a look at the resource and use their search engine for like OCD. You're going to be shocked at all the great stuff that is there. And incidentally, as long as we're talking about biblical counseling, if you go to biblicalcounseling.com, Jimmy, what was the name of the theme for the biblical counseling conference?
Oh, Church Arise, Reclaiming a Culture of Care.
And where's it going to be held? If I'm not, like, North Carolina, right?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte, North Carolina. You can, while you're there, you can visit Elevation Church, not. But the conference is amazing. And my understanding is it's huge. I think a couple thousand people are already registered. So you might want to think about getting to Charlotte for the annual ACBC conference. And next week, we're actually going to be giving away some tickets to that. Why? Because we can and we want to encourage you to become a part of biblical counseling. Now, as long as I have brought up biblical counseling and its help on your soul, let me just toss this in with your body. If you've got physical issues, I would simply like to use this as a very lame segue to remind you about MediShare. If you're the health insurance thing driving you bonkers and you need an alternative that's far less expensive, on average $500 a month less than what you're probably paying for insurance, it's affordable biblical health sharing. We share one another's burdens. So I'm in the pot, you're in the pot. And what you pay every month goes to help me pay my bills and vice versa. And somehow the math all works out, and they've been doing it for almost 30 years. 400,000 members. If you're not familiar with it and you're looking, I would encourage you, MediShare.com/wretched, MediShare.com/wretched, body and soul. I think maybe next week, we've got a busy next week. Maybe next week we'll spend some time diving into how your body and your soul need to be viewed so that in biblical counseling, you never jump over the hurdle of physical. You got to address it. And at the same time, you got to jump back over that hurdle because you can't blame your behavior on your brain. But which is it? And my brain is affecting my behavior? Yes. But I can't blame my brain on my behavior. That is correct. That is what a wise biblical counselor understands. We'll try to do that next week. In the meantime, please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, from Clark with a K, he says, Mr. Friel, do you think it's appropriate for a church to have guidelines or commitments that are not specifically found in Scripture?
Yes. Now, he didn't say which commitments, and neither did I. But yes, I believe it is in the purview and the prerogative of every local church to come up with rules about things like, for instance, church membership. There are some churches that would say you've got to be baptized and you've got to be a regular attender and you've got to be supporting us financially because that's what we do. We support the local church. And if you're not willing to make those commitments, I'm sorry, you can't be a member. Now you say, wait a second. I've got to give money. Where you can make that case in the Bible? Well, I think you can make it actually. But in fairness, you would say, well, show me where that's a rule. Now, that church has, I think, the prerogative to say, look, that's just the way that we want this place because what? If you are finding a church that has rules that maybe kind of go against you, let's just say, for instance, in order to join this church, you need to be baptized. And that kind of rankles you for some reason, let's just say. And the church says, well, sorry, that's just the way that it is. What do you do with that church? I think the answer is it depends on their heart. If you've got a church that's like, okay, here's our rules, and you're not going to do this, and you're going to do that, and it's legalistic, run for your life. But if it's a church that's saying, hey, look, we care about your soul, and we know that the context of the local church is the safest and best place for you, so we really emphasize you being here. then I think you should look at a church like that and go, wow, they love me a lot. If their spirit is tender, desiring my best to shepherd the sheep, and they have rules that I maybe am like, well, I don't think you found a stinker of a church at all. And it certainly shouldn't be a big enough hurdle for you to not jump over and become a member, depending, of course, on what laws we're talking about. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for being here today on Wretched Radio. Are you getting the monthly Wretched newsletter? If you got to stop and think about it, then you're probably not, because if you were, you'd remember. The monthly Wretched newsletter comes to your email every month. Imagine that. And it covers tough theological issues and keeps you up to date on all things new at Wretched. Just go to wretched.org/newsletter to get signed up. That's wretched.org/newsletter. Not only are you going to get updates on all the things happening in Wretched, but you're also going to get thorough and in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues. Plus, and this is probably the best part, you become eligible to win free stuff from Wretched just by being signed up for the monthly Wretched newsletter. It's free. We're not going to check your credit or anything invasive like that. All you have to do is just go to wretched.org and scroll all the way down to the bottom and click newsletter to get yourself signed up. Or you can do it the easy way by going to wretched.org/newsletter. That's my recommendation. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Typical radio commercials will have one big shebang, the opening line. Do we have your attention now? This particular commercial has eight. Have we got your attention now? MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, will save the average family $500 per month. Second, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to typical health insurance. Double, that's times two if you weren't homeschooled. A massive network of providers to choose from. MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. They've been around for 25 years. $4 billion in healthcare bills have been shared. If you call them now, you will save on the joining fee. They're going to erase it. That's another $170. This is a limited time offer, which means make it snappy. Call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. Did I mention 844-34-BIBLE to get your MediShare quote in under 2 minutes?
What is a worldview? Simply put, it's how people view the world. Not physically, though, but rather a comprehensive viewpoint on everything that exists and matters. And these days, most evangelicals have adopted a dualistic worldview, which means that they place Christianity in the realm of faith, while logic, reason, science, and even morality are fixed in the realm of reality. And the results have been pretty evident. Christians who are operating without a proper Christian worldview. In our newest resource, Wretched Worldview seeks to change all that. Todd Friel and Dr. Owen Strand gather to tackle 22 tough contemporary issues through a biblical lens that puts our Christian worldview into clear focus. Not to tell you what to think, but how to think these issues through. Wretched Worldview also comes with a study guide, which is perfect for any Bible study or Sunday school class. Order your copy today at wretched.org/worldview. That's wretched.org/worldview.
Revelation. God has revealed himself through many means, including the conscience. God has given each person a conscience so that they can understand his moral standard and their failure to keep that standard. While the conscience can be deadened and twisted by sin, every human being has an innate knowledge of God's law.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, and encouragements? This is Wretched Radio. Hoping you will send pretty much whatever to idea@wretched.org. Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, and in this instance, an encouragement. Please note, I am fully aware this is not an holistic treatment of the subject. I understand there can be different levels of complexities. I'm just sharing with you an encouraging story from Melanie. I actually have a good report regarding honoring your parents. I am now caring for my father, who was abusive and horrible to me and my family. Now, I don't know what that is. I'm just sharing the story. Please don't write too much commentary. He wasn't 100% bad, but he did some horrific things. It's my non-believing sister and I. We decided that placing him in a facility is not an option. I was never close to my father, and I promised myself years ago that I would not be involved in caring for him when he needed it. He's 95. But the Lord had other plans, and here I am caring for him. I believe it's the biblical thing to do. You know what? It's been a huge blessing, and I believe that the Lord is working in this situation. I have no doubt he is. My father is not saved, so I think that's part of the reason I'm here. But I've gotten to know my father as not a very flawed parent, but a fallen human being that has the same hurts, struggles, and difficulties as anyone, and it has helped my compassion for him grow. I understand a bit more why God commands us to honor father and mother, at least in part because in it he's working in the parent and in us. I'll tell you, I know the subject is fraught with all kinds of baggage, but just that little testimony alone is a demonstration that God's intentions for us work. It just works. Honor your father and mother that it might go well with you. This is a commandment with a promise. Honor your, all the days of your life. You don't have to do everything they say once you're out of the house. I get that. When you're in the house, you gotta. That's the way it works. But when you're out of the house, you don't have to do everything and take every piece of advice, but you should honor them in the process. And when you do, God will bless you. It's as simple as that. God blesses obedience. Don't want to start a cult with that moniker, but God is pleased when you strive to be obedient, and there will always be fruit in some way, shape, or form. There will always be fruit, and if it's not temporal, it will be eternal. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org. You got an encouragement there, Jimmy?
Yes.
Do you?
Yeah, I like your suit today.
I didn't mean that. I wasn't fishing.
I'm sorry. I thought that's how I took it.
But you really like it, do you?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Looks nice.
All right.
Anastasia and Dylan sent an email together in and said they're in a bit of a pickle because their pastor just told them that he agrees with euthanasia and they should look into changing their position. Mm. And they're wondering what they should do because their family refuses to change their view.
Yeah, I don't blame them. I think that we need to start with the best possible explanation for this. And I do believe that this is a rule that applies to pretty much every topic of conversation these days, definitions. What does your pastor mean by euthanasia? And what do you mean by euthanasia? So let's define the terms, and I would suggest my starting place would be to sit down with him and say, I want to understand what you mean by euthanasia. Do you mean that it is okay to intentionally take somebody's life because they're suffering? And see what he says. And hopefully he's like, oh, no, that's not what I meant. No, we would never intentionally do that. All I meant, I'm just speculating, all I meant was that when it is clear that God is taking somebody's life and the only way that they are going to just be able to just go bloop, bloop, bloop on the monitor is if they are connected to some sort of medical support, then it's a wrestling match. It should be done thoughtfully and prayerfully and pastorally. But it could be okay then for you to, if you will, crude term, pull the plug. That's all I meant by that. Oh, well, then you got yourself some harmony. However, if the individual says, oh, no, I mean, let's just say somebody's got an illness and it's really painful and they've got 3 months to go. I think it's okay for a doctor who has taken a Hippocratic oath to protect life can off them. Whoa, I got a commandment for you called thou shalt not murder. Wait, that's pragmatism. You think it's pragmatism, by the way, because you don't understand the blessings of what the fruit is from suffering, that there can be fruit. I'm not saying this is easy. I know it's glib of me to stand here when at this moment my body isn't aching and breaking. Okay. It's deteriorating here and there, but I'm not languishing in a bed wishing that I were dead. And as an aside, I'm not even sure that's always a terrible prayer for a believer when it's at that point. Lord, take me home. I'd like to be done. If you could remove me from this pain, I'd just like to come and be with you now. I don't think that's a wrong prayer. But I do think it's wrong when we don't understand the blessings that come from suffering, and that we pragmatically determine, oh, it's just better for them that they go now. No, it's not. How do I know? Because God didn't say so. How do I know that? Because he says you can't murder somebody. If that's the case, and he persists in that belief, I'd start having some pretty big concerns, and I'd start sniffing around for other things, because chances are this one isn't there by itself. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, from Brad, he said, recently, our dog Lily passed away from a snake bite. She was 7 years old, and they did all they could, took her to the animal hospital, medicines, fluids, but she passed away a day later, and he feels so guilty for being sad about that when so much worse could have happened to his family. And he's wanting to know if it was sinful for him to feel remorseful over a pet.
Yeah. Well, let's just try to apply that thinking to other scenarios for a moment. All right. Let's just say my child falls off of her bike and breaks her leg. It's okay. Look, she could have been hit by a car. And there's kids that are getting hit every day and they have severe and profound injuries. So no big deal. Get up, dear. Now, that's ridiculous. You'd go, well, of course you can. You'll always find something worse. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a time to mourn. And this would be one of those times. I'm sure books have been written. Certainly there's YouTube videos out there. What is it about dogs that so capture our hearts? At least people who think somewhat normally. You love dogs because they just, there's something about, and they might even sleep in your bed. How can you not feel an attachment to that? And it's not wrong if it's not an idol. It's a gift from God. So every time you're petting your pooch and it's like, I really dig this. Don't forget God who gave you the dog. That's the point. The gifts always point, even if it's not a pointer. The gift always points to God. Don't forget the giver and enjoy the dog and love the dog. And when the dog dies, it's okay to be sad. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, can there be something wrong with that? Yes, of course there can. Like anything, Lily may have been an idol. And then you just need to repent of it and you can still cry over it if you'd like to. If the dog is something that just, I'm going to die without the dog. Well, okay, then God then took the dog because you need to work on that. And you can. So it can be a sin. It always can be. And by the way, your grieving, got to be careful with this, might go on too long. There should be a dissipating of the intensity of your sadness. That's a normal process of healing. And if that is going on for an amount of time that people in your life start going, do you think maybe it's time to move on? Do you think, what is it that's keeping you? Why are you still in the dumps of it? Let's go explore that and figure that out. Now, it could be something that God wants to work on, and he'll do that. It could be that you're sinning, so you repent of that. But short of those things, man, dogs are amazing. Cats, no. Dogs, absolutely. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
Let's backtrack just a minute because you didn't like my compliment on your suit. So Allison, she wants to compliment your suits as well. She says she wants you to tell her where you get your snazzy suits because you always look so put together and nice.
Well, thank you very much. Discount. That's where I get them. I've got a pair of shoes right now. I don't know what the deal is. This is the only pair of shoes. We like to go for walks. So last night, I think we did about a 3-mile walk. Little spritzy, but nevertheless, you get used to showering a lot in Atlanta. And if I wear these particular shoes, my left heel, woo! Did somebody put in a pickaxe on the bottom of my foot? Can I throw those shoes away? Not a chance. They've got miles. They've got rubber on the road that is still usable. I'm not throwing them away. And I can't buy retail. And I will go to a discount store, but only shop the clearance racks. So if you'd like to know who my suit sponsor is, the answer would be these suits are sponsored by Scrooge. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.